And I will call the meeting to order. And if we can get a motion for the meeting, for the minutes from our last meeting.
I'll move that.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All right. Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, we'll go right into resolutions. We will start with resolution 550. Adopting proposed local law number 6, repealing local law number 2, and establishing school-based mental health and safety act.
I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second that.
Good. Any discussion? This came through committee and went to the floor. Obviously, there was a public hearing on this. Trey?
Yeah, I was hoping that we could hear, I don't know, either from the sponsor or if anyone can speak to the reaction that we've gotten from any of the school superintendents since we sent that letter to them.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything personally. I don't know if anybody else from the committee has had any feedback.
I haven't heard any negative feedback either.
Yeah. No. Yeah, John would definitely be the right one to reach out.
Chairman, Jay can share some information with
us. Oh, okay, sure.
Hi, all. There was a letter from the Rondout Valley Central School District that should have been circulated to the entire body maybe 3 weeks ago. And then the only other communication that I'm aware of is former legislator Mary Sheely reached out to legislator Parity directly offering support. And there were questions, but no commitment in support or opposition from the Walk Hill School District.
I do remember the Rondout Valley letter, as a matter of fact. They were in support of them.
Sure, Pete.
So I just want to say in general, I'm hugely, hugely supportive of bolstering our mental health resources in schools, hugely. My one sticking point that I still have, and I don't feel like we've gotten clarity, is on the school resource officer question of whether a school must in fact hire a school resource officer if this law is passed. The language that I keep looking at, it sort of includes a lot of different possible supports and school resource officers in there, but I just am not clear. Does it mean that a school without one would have to actually hire one? Does anybody know the answer to that?
I don't think it, I don't remember it being a condition of this law.
It looks like it to me in this language, where it says, I think it's section 3. So schools will use, it's section 3, subsection B. Schools will use an allocation of 0.50% as prescribed in 4.1b for additional staff, including but not limited to psychiatrists, clinicians, counselors, mental health nurse practitioners, and school resource officers. And to me, that language does not say or, it says all, it says included but not limited to. So what does that actually mean? The reason I'm pushing this is because there's a lot of controversy right now about the effectiveness of school resource officers. There was just some interesting conversations going on in the Kingston School District, and it's a conversation that's happening nationally. And I just think we need to be really aware of that if we are in fact mandating that schools hire a school resource officer. We need to know that that's what we're saying.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't interpret it being as a mandation for school resource officers. I think that's up to the schools to decide. And I think they've actually made that pretty clear that the schools are the ones that are saying yes or no to that.
But it doesn't say that in this document.
I don't think we have the authority to mandate a school's policy like that. This is just, and from the way I'm looking at it, is we're enabling the county to provide mental health, school-based mental health services to the schools, but I don't think we're mandating anything.
That this language is clear. Schools will use an allocation. Schools will do A, B, and C.
That's what this language says right here.
Now, it's a really small percentage. I don't know how that would be spread.
How would it be spread
equally over the positions that you had mentioned? Like, I don't even know how that would work.
I don't actually either.
Has this gone through legal already?
0.50% is yeah. I exactly see what you're saying, Craig.
Yeah. So,
Mark, do you have any idea about that?
I mean, the read that I would take of it is that they can hire additional staff that includes any of those, but they wouldn't, that you're not requiring them to pick one or the other. So if they wanted to hire clinicians, counselors, nurse practitioners, they could. If they don't have school resource officers, they wouldn't. I do want to just point out that this is a higher allocation of our sales tax than we give via a sales tax agreement to all of the towns and villages. So, as you're evaluating the law, I mean, I just think that you all, you're probably aware of that, but it's a considerable amount of our sales tax money going to in perpetuity to these districts who already have a higher property tax per, you know, intake than the counties and the towns. I think everybody's supportive of mental health in schools. This just seems like, I mean, the reason none of the superintendents or the reason they all support it is because you're handing them a large sum of money with not a lot of restrictions.
Right. Yeah, I kind of agree with that interpretation that that small percentage could be applied, not could be, but will be applied, not to one or all, but maybe, you know, one of them within that list of positions. So
it's interesting though, because that is not actually the way that it reads. I mean, it says very specifically that the funding of additional staff, including but not limited to. So the words including but not limited to means you are including but not limiting it to. So you include this body, but you don't limit it. You could add additional to it. That's the way that language reads in my interpretation. If somebody else has a different take on those words, the way that they're put down on this paper, I'd be happy to hear it.
If I can?
Yeah, sure.
I understand what you're saying, Legislator Criswell. You know, given that, I kind of agree a little bit. I think it needs to be looked at a little bit. Has legal gone through this already?
Which legal?
Our lawyers?
The county attorney's office is currently looking at it. I don't know about your, sorry. I don't know about the legislative attorneys. But I mean, the county attorney's office is looking at it now.
And I think that's going to be key, whether or not we even have that kind of authority to mandate schools the way it's worded right now to have those people, like Peter said.
This has to go through at least Ways and Means still, right?
I think it's going to go through Ways and Means and Laws and Rules.
Yeah,
because it's a law and with a financial impact.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't mean to nitpick, but I think that's what we're charged to do, is look at these documents in a very nitpick way and see what the language is saying. So that's what I'm bringing.
Right. Up. No, definitely. I'm just wondering kind of tightening up that language, or you know, making it more specific, or just clarifying it, is worth holding it up in this committee. If it could be done, if somebody could reach out to John and, you know, let him know what our concerns are, and it can be, you know, tweaked in Laws and Rules or Ways and Means.
I understand what you're saying. We want to move this forward. And actually I also understand what Peter's saying, because the financial impact could be even greater if this law is mandating those other services for every school that the school may not have or may not want. it could be huge, a huge financial impact. I think that does need to be clarified personally before we move forward.
And then you also have to consider if this is going to change the law enough where it'll have to go back to another public hearing. That way people are aware exactly what that means, you know, because then
I just hate to see
you have to go down that path as well.
We push it forward and then it gets kicked back to committee again anyway, and we're back in the same boat. Why don't we do it right the first time?
All right.
Honestly, in this case, I agree with legislator as well. The language really, that does throw up a red flag.
Okay.
Can I just point out one thing? And maybe it looks like Jay left or Nettie, but my belief is if this doesn't pass this month, it's basically a starting over. You're going into the last month of a 2-year session. So it's not like if you postpone this, it gets picked up where you left off. I'm pretty sure it starts it at the very beginning of the process again.
Chair, didn't the previous proposed local law just have the officer, and then you modified it, you amended it to include all the others, I thought. No?
Not in this committee. I don't know if maybe that was in laws and rules. I don't remember.
Wasn't that one of the amendments?
If we
did. To include more than just the officer, the resource officer? I don't know.
There was a breakdown of the differences, and that was one of them, Nettie. You're correct. And I tend to disagree. I mean, generally, when you write something, including but not limited to, offers examples, but you don't want to limit it to just those examples. Mm-hmm. If you just said, you know, to be spent on mental health, that's so big that it probably wouldn't be allocated where the sponsor of this resolution would like to see it allocated to. But that's pretty common legal terms in contracts.
Right.
Craig, Mark's point, sure. To Mark's question about the adoption of the law with the new body, my understanding from the clerk is that, I mean, generally your process traditionally is the introduction of a local law, the holding of a public hearing, and then the adoption thereof. However, you're not obligated to put in legislation to adopt any local law that you've held a public hearing on in the same session. So in her explanation, it was the holding of the public hearing that shouldn't transgress a new body. But once the public hearing is held, the adoption of the law can happen at any time. And you have had local laws that have been introduced, you held a public hearing, and then months and months and months went by before you put in the legislation to adopt the local law. So I can circle back to Vicki to get clarification, but I believe it is her opinion that the law in its form now as proposed local law number 6-ish of 2021 will exist in that state, notwithstanding action on the resolution in front of you to adopt or not the local law. So whatever action happens on that resolution will dictate what happens moving forward, amending the law, defeating the law, adopting the law, however you do on the resolution, but that it should transgress to the next body. Or can, not should.
Now, is that a question that you'll have clarified? Now, can we move on, take no action, come back to this after you speak with Vicki? Are you pretty, is that
I'm pretty confident in that response, but I wouldn't want that to dictate what you all do. If you're not comfortable with the law in its form, then you should make that decision. And it will go to both ways and means and laws and rules, and it will be in that order. I know it was in a different order previously, and there were just some technical issues on the clerical side with this law. So it should be ways and means next week. And then laws and rules the night before session.
Sure.
So if we were to pass this to move it to ways and means, that terminology could be corrected and fixed, and we could take care of business then. So we wouldn't actually be creating a bad situation by moving this forward, or a financial hardship. I'm just looking at the money that could be involved in this. It could be huge.
Right. And so,
and that's the thing that I'm really concerned with. I mean, I would be okay to move it forward with the conditions that laws and rules and ways and means actually look at that particular clause that's in there somehow, if we can somehow make that happen.
Yeah, no, I'm comfortable with that as well. Abe?
I just, you know, personally, I'm not, like, I hear that and I'm, you know, happy to vote in the minority on, you know, on that question. It just seems like we're kicking the can to another committee, knowing that the same committee has already kicked it back to us once, you know, when it was going up for a public hearing. So, you know, I understand and wouldn't hold it against anyone for voting for it. I just won't be supporting that.
Okay. Sure, Mark.
One more thought. So just to give everybody kind of a ballpark figure of what each district would look at, based off of student population, Kingston would get about $1 million a year in a year on this local law, and each of the other districts roughly get about 300,000. So if you look at 41B, which the section that Legislator Criswell, the 43B kind of points you back to 41B. The idea that all of those things could be purchased by a district for $300,000, psychiatrists, clinicians, counselors, mental health nurse practitioners, and school resource officers, I mean, this legislation wouldn't go nearly that far to provide all those staff. I think it's a menu of schools, of things that the schools can choose from.
Yeah.
That's why I wish we had a lawyer here to help us with that.
We have one.
I was going to say, we have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, I'm sorry for, you know, causing this consternation, but it's a lot of money, and we want to make sure that it's being spent correctly. And you know, language is important because it's going to become a law, and that's when there's problems, you go back to the exact language of a law. And I just want to make sure we're getting it right. So, so what you just said, Mark, actually gives me a little bit of comfort. I'd be happy to support this. I mean, again, I'm hugely supportive of mental health programs in the schools. I think that that's where we have to actually do all the intervention when we're working with young people, so that we keep them out of the prison systems and you know, help them thrive as best they can. So I'll support this if I can feel like we can actually get clarification on that language.
And that's where I'm at as well.
Yep. And I'm comfortable, and I have the confidence that, you know, we can, yeah, tweak that language and get an answer and reach out to John through, what is it, laws and rules and ways of means, one or the other. So, okay. Is there any other discussion before I call the question? All right, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Karen. I'm voting, just to be clear, I'm voting in opposition.
Okay.
Everybody else. Okay, so 4 in favor, 1 opposed. Passes.
All righty, we'll move on. The next 4 resolutions, 559, 560, 561, and 562, are all reappointments to the Community Services Board.
Can I move to block 459?
Sure. Yep, that's what I was going to ask.
And I'll second that.
Okay.
Block.
Discussion on the block?
No. Make a motion to move it?
Yeah. Well, motion was already made. Motion on the floor. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. And then move the resolution.
I move to approve. Aye. Yeah. So moved. Yeah.
I'll second. On the resolution, says blocked.
Aye.
Any discussion?
Aye.
No, all in favor? You guys are jumping the gun. Aye. Here. All right. All in favor. All right. Aye. Aye. All right. Very good. There we go. All right. Very good. We will move on.
Greg, you got to crack the whip on us tonight.
That's it. Got to stay on top of things. Resolution 567 is authorizing the chair to execute an agreement with various Ulster County school districts for the sharing of COVID test kits.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah. Got a second?
I'll second it.
Right. Discussion?
I just have a question through the chair to County Executive, Deputy County Executive Mark Ryder. Have you considered other school-type institutions sharing of that? I'm thinking specifically Ulster County Community Action, which runs the Head Start program. Would they be eligible for something like this?
We do provide them to private schools. We could probably, I see no reason why we couldn't provide them to Ulster County Community Action if they requested it. These IMAs are required because as school districts, they're intermunicipal agreements with a private school or an organization like Ulster County Community Action. We could just do a regular contract, you know, giving them test kits. But if they reach out and if there's a need, I don't see why we couldn't provide some tests.
Okay. So
that they would have to have nursing staff that would get trained and added to, we would have to train them and Dr. Smith would have to be comfortable that they were, you know, using them for the right purposes because they would be done under her CLIA.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, Pete.
I just had a quick question also for Deputy Executive Ryder about non-invasive testing. I've been seeing a lot of chatter about folks who are uncomfortable with the deep nasal swabs. And I just wondered if you had any information on availability of non-invasive testing kits.
Yeah. So as far as nasal swabs go, the Binex now are about as non-invasive as it comes. They go about a quarter of the way up the nose, a quarter of an inch, which is not like actually up into, in the early stages with the COVID testing, it felt like they were kind of tickling your brain. These ones are much less invasive than that. We do not have saliva kits. That's what a lot of people refer to and pool testing. We don't have the setup with the lab currently. And we already have the providers providing the nasal swabs. So people are able, if you're a teacher who let's say is required to go through this testing because you're not vaccinated and that's what the state has said that you have to do is go through weekly testing or get the vaccine, or if you wanted to do a screen testing but didn't want to do the nasal swab, you do have the ability to go elsewhere and get the test done, just not here.
Wow.
So just as a point of clarity, this is not for the school children. This is for the staff.
It's for the staff and any parent who signs up to have their kids tested weekly. They can opt in to the screening program if they choose.
So it's their choice. It's not, the school's not going to randomly or mandate.
You can. It's a medical procedure.
Well, I get without, it. I understand that.
Without parental consent. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear that concern, though. Let's later, Bruno.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 621. Is that where we're at? Let me
see. Yes.
Yeah, 621.
Yes.
Approving the execution of a contract amendment for health research. This is in the amount of $532,900. Move for discussion.
I'll move for discussion.
I'll second that.
Second.
You want me to just give a quick
overview? Sure.
So this is our ELC 1 grant. This is what we've used for testing, case investigations, It started at $500,000. They had the $1 million in as an additional appropriation in case it was ever needed. Now they're coming back and adding $500,000. So it brings the total amount up to $2 million. This is where a lot of our AccuCare nursing and contract nursing staff come from, and some other testing, test kits, and other resources. This will definitely be needed because we're almost through the other money. So,
wow. Yeah. All right. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Resolution 622, approving the execution contract for $80,000 with Bandito and Company for, this is for public assistance and case review. Move. Motion.
Al's making a motion, I'll second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, for the case of Mark, you want to give a little bit on this?
Yeah, so Bonadio is an auditing firm. They come in and we have responsibility for, since public assistance is state and federal money, we have to contract out auditors that come in and make sure that the funds that we're giving out through public assistance were done correctly. This is an external auditor to come in and do that.
On top of our own auditors?
Correct.
And we still pay for them.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, it's actually 50% federal funds, 50% state. So yes, the taxpayers do pay for it, but not the county, right?
So they pay for it twice.
In sure. This is a more specific audit than your general.
No, I get it, but I'm being pragmatic here. I'm sorry, Mark.
I hear you.
Does it work, Mark, like other audits where, you know, they have their standard bookkeeping audit and then periodically they have to do a more in-depth paid audit?
They definitely drill down on specific cases and casework to make sure they do get into detailed audit.
So do we deduct this money from our auditors or how's that work?
No, because it's not in the scope of the external audit.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it seems that we'll spare no expense to make sure that no one receives a benefit that they don't deserve.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? All in favor? Aye. All right.
Yeah.
Resolution 623. Mm-hmm. Approving execution of contract with what's his family? Is his family mm-hmm. Woodstock? Yeah.
Yes.
For the independent living program.
I'll just move it.
Motion. Second.
Well, I was just going to say before that, does anyone have any objection to blocking all the family of Woodstock resolutions? Are there any specific ones that anyone wanted to discuss?
I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, we could do that.
So, Laura, do you mind before you get a second and we have to consider that if I make a motion to block 623 through 629?
I'll second that.
630?
630. No.
630 is for right. Family services. Yeah.
You're right. My bad.
Oh, yeah, that's
family services. I'll second that motion to block.
All right. Discussion?
No.
Unblock? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Then move. Motion for the
I'll resolution. Make a motion.
All right. Then a second.
I'll second that.
All right. Discussion? All right. Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Carried. And that brings us down to what, 630?
Yes.
Yep.
Approving the execution of a contract for $544,000 with Family Services for Family Education Services. Move for discussion.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
And Discussion?
I didn't take a look at the contract. How many families will this be covering?
I'll have to circle back with you on the number. It's a similar size contract than we did last year. Remember, this is one of those contracts that legislator Criswell helped and others in this committee helped to restore back in the budget after looking at some cuts. Helps keep families together. I'll follow up with you, Laura, on the number.
Okay, thank you.
That was one of those necessary services that we felt all felt was
worth it. Yeah. Any other comments, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 631, approving execution of contract amendment for $100,000 with Industrial Medicine Associates. Move for discussion.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
This is to extend the term of agreement, increase funding for client substance abuse screening. Any discussion?
This is for substance abuse, correct?
Mm-hmm. Screening. Yeah, yes. For CPS and other court ordered.
Right.
Do they bill back the clients, or is this a free service, so to speak?
I don't think we bill back. Yeah, this is, I guess, a free, I don't know if it's a service, but it is no cost to the individual.
To the individual. Okay. All right. That was a question.
It only costs to the taxpayers. Don't worry about it, Laura.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, in family court, if they mandate mental health evaluation, you could have to pay for that, or, you know, DNA test or whatever they, yeah. Yeah. Depending on your income, which is unfortunate because a court can mandate quite a bit, but I was just, yeah. And I guess apologize. We won't go there.
I was being sarcastic. I apologize.
I know. Yeah, it is. It's a lot for services. Yeah.
All right.
Not as much as the lawyers.
But you can't stop the judges from doing it, so.
It's true.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 This is Resolution 632, approving the execution of a contract for $70,000 with Nicholas Kamen for Child Protective Service Clinic and Mental Health Collaborations. Move for discussion. A second?
Sure, I'll second it.
Discussions, questions?
I don't have a problem with this. I think this is the first time I heard it. Good.
It is a new contract.
So, but it was, again, it was for child services, child protective services.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was this one grant funded?
100%
state. 100% state funding. So reimbursable state funding, not through a grant, but
kind of pass through.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 633, approving execution of contract amendment for $70,480 with United Way to extend the term of agreement and increase funding for life skills for the life skills case aid. Move it.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
A second. Sure. Discussion? No? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 634, approving the execution of contract amendment for $171,000 with VMC Group to extend the term of agreement and increase funding for preschool transportation management services. Move for discussion.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Is this just one of our many bus options?
So this one, actually, they oversee all of the preschool bus transportation. So we also, I think, have a separate contract with them for actually busing some of, transporting some of these students. These are the preschool education, preschool special education through DSS are those who don't necessarily go to their home school within the district, or they might, and they might need somebody who rides with them on the bus. And so this is just, this contract's for the management of making sure that everybody who's in need gets picked up and taken to where they go. And then again, we have like three, I think, preschool transportation contracts with Bernie Bus, VMC, the other buses.
They coordinate with the nursing agency that provides like an LPN or somebody who's going to ride with the, with the, oh, they do. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Any other questions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Resolution 335, approving the execution of a contract for $450,000 with Young Women's Christian Association for the Families Now program.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Resolution 336, approving the execution of a contract for $525,000. 636.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Approving the execution of a contract for $525,000 with the Youth Advocate Program for advocacy services.
I'll move it.
And a motion. A second.
Second.
Discussion.
This is one of those programs also that was refunded after it had been cut during COVID. So you all know that.
I missed you kind of tailed off at the end of that. Could you just repeat that?
I said this is one of those contracts that I put in an amendment to get refunded after
right.
cut during COVID.
Gotcha.
So this is specifically one of the programs, Youth Advocate right. program.
Very good. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Now, resolutions 637 to 646 are all OMH and OASIS pass-throughs, so maybe we can block them.
Probably not 646, although maybe I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, through 646.
I have a little issue with 642 and 43, as I have.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm
sorry, but as I've had in the past.
It's okay.
And I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I have to stand my ground on this. I can't see giving a dime to Health Alliance Broadway Campus. I don't care what it's for. I think we should divorce ourselves from them, from Health Alliance completely. They're the ones that pulled our mental health beds away, and they told us to go pack salt. That being said, I can't agree with sending them a dime. I'm sorry. They screwed the county for 2 years, to 3 years now, and I have a very bad taste in my mouth about anything Health Alliance.
So if I may, Chairman Lopez, I'd like to move that we block 637, 638, 639, 640, 641, 644, 645, and 646.
I'd be okay with that.
646 is RSF. One.
Yeah, I can be a no.
Oh, one. Yeah. So let's, sorry. I'll amend my motion to omit 646.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll second that then.
Okay. Discussion on the block. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Now, motion on the resolutions.
Or second, okay. Whichever works, Laura.
All right, second. Oh, you did a second? Okay.
Whoever you want to put there.
discussion on the resolutions. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Now we will go back to.
Now, is that both blocks, if I can ask?
That was just one block, which was this whole list of resolutions, except for the Health Alliance ones and the RSS ones, which are now
right,
three standalones, which remain as three standalones.
Right, those we'll do individually. So So we have what, 446. What number was the
other? It's 46. So the first Health Alliance one is 642.
Okay. So 642, approving the execution of a contract for $175,000 with Health Alliance Broadway Campus. All right, move for discussion.
I'll move that for discussion.
I'm sure you will.
I'll second that.
All right.
And like I've previously said, I can't support anything that has giving any money to Westchester Medical Center or Health Alliance after what they've done to the county. And that's, I know it's for mental health, and I support mental health in Ulster County to the nth degree. But I really believe that we should be looking elsewhere other than WMC. And that being said, they told us, like I said, to go pack salt, and we're just giving them more money. It's just beyond my comprehension how we can do that. I just, for on both of those, I'm just like so disgusted with them. It's not even funny. But they told us it's not financially viable. They said it in this meeting, Dr. Doyle did, with all the same people that are here now, well, most of them, that, well, I'm sorry, you guys, Ulster County's not worth it. Well, I don't think they're worth making any money off of us at all in that case. I'm sorry, but I can't vote. I cannot vote yes for either one of those two because of who it's going to. Not because of what it's going for, but who it's going to.
Okay. Your objection is duly noted. Anybody else? Oh, Mark?
Just on this one in particular, I just caution the committee that this is OMH state aid. We have very little to say in how this aid is spent. And so, you know, if this resolution in particular were not to pass, you know, it's not like we can take that state aid and go anywhere else with it. And it is for mental health services that are being done at the hospital. So.
Somewhere else. I'm sorry. We have a lot of other places we could have done these things. Mm. And so that being said, I know it's probably going to pass anyway, but I still have to be no. I have to stand on my convictions and what I believe.
I did see Tara just pop on, so I don't know if she wants to add anything to what I just said.
I didn't necessarily want to add anything just in terms of, I don't necessarily disagree with you, Legislator Bruno. I just know at this point, the services are ongoing, and to not fund them means that they're, you know, at this point wouldn't be available to assist those folks that are depending on it for right now. I don't know if it's a matter of us looking to be able to do something different with the money in the future, but for right now, they're actively providing treatment, and it just makes it really difficult.
I understand that, and I appreciate it. I still feel that Westchester Medical made their bed, and I think that, and I mean no disrespect to anybody that's being treated by it, and I really support the people who need the treatment. I just don't feel that as a county, we should be giving money to an entity, a company who is abusing us, and that's the way I feel that they're doing. Yeah, they may be providing us with some services, but at the same time, they're cutting off the most important services that we really need and refusing to give them back and forcing the county into spending millions of dollars to supply these services by ourselves by building our own standalone, which was in according to the task force and the executive's plan, which I don't disagree with. But at the same time, I can't in good conscience give them any money. I hope you understand that. It's I know it's going to pass, but I have to object to this.
Okay. Laura?
I totally agree with Legislator Bruno. In fact, I have those numbers written on my hand to make sure I didn't vote yes on them. And it's not for the mental health services. And I'm not even sure what mental health services they're providing, because if someone is in any kind of distress, they're going to be transferred over to Mid-Hudson Regional, and if it's bad enough, sent down to Westchester. So I am not in favor of giving Westchester any money for any of their programs, because they're not truly supporting the medical and mental health needs of Ulster County.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Opposed.
Gotcha. And what are we on?
643.
Yep, so we're 646 or 643?
Three.
643. Okay, approving the execution of contract for $100,000. Oh, yep, with Health Alliance Broadway Campus.
Move it for
discussion. Yeah.
I'll second it.
Discussion?
Yeah, I'd like Mark? To have...
Oh.
Oh, yeah, no, I would love to have Mark. If we could have Mark explain it, because this one's not a pass-through. Sure. This looks like 100% county, and I would love background on this.
I'll take a quick stab at it, and then I'll probably just turn it over to Tara, because she is far more knowledgeable on this than I am. But this is, I think, one of the only methadone maintenance, the MAT programs that are in the county currently. Again, this is 100% county funds that are for those, that's, you know, substance abuse addiction services. You want to go deeper than that, Tara, feel free.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the only methadone maintenance clinic within, I think, a 3 to 4 county region. So in addition to serving Ulster County residents, they do have the ability to serve Greene County, Putnam, whomever it is that is in need, as prioritization is set by OASAS, which is the licensing body that does the methadone. It's a longstanding support that I believe that the county and agreement that we went into when we turned over our chemical dependency unit, our license for that. And so in order to ensure that the services remained in the county, because as I said, not every county has a methadone clinic, remained here to allow for ease of access for our residents, the agreement was to provide this support. And we've maintained this agreement, I believe, for the 8 years or 10 years plus since we haven't provided the services directly.
So if my question is based on what Ms. McDonald just said, the $100,000 we're spending is going to also go into a pot that's going to serve other counties as well.
Well,
it's going to be administered through Health Alliance or Westchester Medical Center, ultimately. This is a bigger no than the first, than 642 in my eyes.
If I can just say, Legislative Bruno, just to know that because of the way in which that the methadone clinics are licensed and operated throughout the state, there are other Ulster County residents that are in Westchester or they're in Putnam. That's just sort of the nature of the beast. So the majority of the individuals that are being served at the Health Alliance on the Broadway campus at their methadone clinic are Ulster residents. And so we are getting the bang for our buck. I'm just also cautioning that because of how rare methadone clinics are, that there may be other county residents that intermittently utilize the service.
So I have a question. Through the chair, I have a question. Are the plan, and Mark might be able to help us with this a little more as well. So the plan of Ulster County building their own standalone clinic, their own standalone facility, is this methadone clinic included in that facility? Along with that?
So the facility is more, think of a brick and mortar facility where other providers would be in providing the services, not so much county employees running clinics like happened in a decade or more ago. This is really putting together a hub for providers to come in and provide these services. Right now, I don't know whether one of those providers would be a methadone maintenance treatment program.
So my question, argument to that is, if we're going to spend all this money to do this, it only seems logical that we would include that in it, since that is, methadone is a huge treatment for substance abuse. Just because the other counties do it doesn't mean that we have to. And that's part of my issue. We're spending millions of dollars, but where are these millions of dollars going? And I think that this would be a great thing to add to it. So Ulster County may be different. We may be the only one in to have the methadone clinic in our own facility. And I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem giving any money to Health Alliance.
We would still need a partner to do the actual program, which
and there's lots of medical partners that are out there that can be had. There's lots of them. Health Westchester Medical is not the only one.
I would know more on the licensing requirements, and I don't think they're just handed out all that easily.
Unfortunately, sure. Which is why there are so few of them in the state, because the licensing of the service is very stringent.
Pete, if I may, I also do want to put this in perspective. We're talking about $100,000 here. We're not talking about $1 million or $2 million. $100,000 in treatment programs is a drop in the bucket and will be used within 2 months. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. McDonald, but it's not a lot of money to put towards a methadone clinic.
Right. It's not what necessarily sustains their operations. It was in support of. So you're correct.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that as well.
Okay. Yep. Laura?
I have a question about the alternative using Suboxone. Is that the alternative medication and the one that's been preferred in the Ulster County Jail? Or is that a totally different medicine?
It's a different medicine. So, it really does depend on assessment and the chronicity of someone's use and, you know, their access to it, the decision to prescribe Suboxone versus methadone, all of those are their clinical decisions.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We have two no's. Okay, very good, Karen. And we're at our last resolution.
646.
There's two more resolutions.
Oh, two more resolutions. Yeah, 646, 648. Yeah, 646 approving the execution of contract for $700,000 entered into by the county with the rehabilitation support services. Move for discussion.
Move it.
Second. Any discussion? No. Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Resolution 648.
Yeah, you've got one opposed.
Here. Oh, one opposed. Okay.
Yep.
Very good. All righty. We will move to resolution 648. It's opposing government mandate COVID-19 vaccination.
Move for discussion.
Yeah. A second.
I'll second it.
Okay. Well, we have the sponsor here with us tonight, Mary Waro. If maybe you wanted to discuss your resolution a bit. I know that you and Laura have worked on this together. So yeah.
Yes.
Floor is yours.
Good evening, everybody. I brought this resolution forward because I feel that we're kind of losing our focus. I feel like in other areas, we feel like it's our body and our choice. And I feel in this particular case, suddenly it's not our body anymore and that we can't choose what we do and do not do with it. I believe that the medical information is not there yet. It's too new. And that there's still a lot of issues with the vaccine. And that being said, I feel like it's very important that if you do choose to have the vaccine, that it should be available. And the county has done an excellent job in making it available to everyone and to have the testing available. And I hope you'll consider what kind of direction this is putting us in. Having mandates that we start to lose our choice in what we're doing with our own bodies.
Pal,
I have to agree with Legislator Waro. I think we, as a government, we should encourage and we should, I encourage everybody to get the vaccines. I don't think it's our position to mandate it. I think we're really exceeding the authority of what we're supposed to be doing as a government. And I honestly support this resolution, and I would be a sponsor of this resolution if my name was added to it. I would have no problem with it. I don't believe in mandates, but I do believe in the vaccines. And I, just so you're clear, I'm clear, I was a VIRS. I was one that had a negative reaction to the Moderna vaccine. I spent 2 weeks in the hospital because of directly related to the vaccine, and it's been documented. That being said, I still encourage everybody to get it. The vaccine I got made me sick, but it's better than making me dead. That being said, I still don't believe that it's the government, the county, the governor, or the president's place to tell me I need to do that or I need not to do that. They can give me other restrictions, like I have to wear a mask. That's up to them and while I'm in public, but they can't tell me what I put in my own body. That's my problem.
Abe?
Yeah, I just, you know, the vaccine mandates began, I think it was over 100 years ago. You know, we've been mandating vaccines for deadly diseases for a very, very, very long time. I think it's unfortunate that the larger public conversation has seized upon this as a way to divide us. I think there's not a reason why this particular vaccine is should be given a special, you know, controversial place other than politics. And we, you know, I was required to have a number of vaccines when I entered elementary school and a number more when I entered into college. That's been the case for decades. The mRNA vaccine, while this particular one is new because the variants of COVID are new, the mRNA technology has been around for a while now. It's unfortunate, I think, that we're that it has been made into a political thing when there really is no reason to reverse course on a long-held nationwide stance on mandated vaccines.
And just in the interest of this particular debate, can go on all night, and I'm sure there's pros and cons on both sides of this issue. There's people on both sides of it. And I can say that there is something different about this particular vaccine than different than smallpox or polio or all those other ones. And the simple fact is it was rushed through. It's not approved, regardless of what the media says. we don't know what the side effects are. And I'm standing here to tell you that there's side effects to this. I don't think that it's still the government's position to say that I need to take a shot before I can go to work, or I need to take a shot before I can walk into a restaurant or whatever. Now, once it's been vetted and shows that it proves, because so far what we've learned with this vaccine is whether you have the vaccine or not, the virus is still spreading, even with the vaccine. People who have the vaccine, you call them breakthrough cases, whatever you want to call them, there's a lot of different theories on it, but it's not doing what it was intended to do. And that's stop this virus. Matter of fact, we're in a surge right now. We just, our governor just declared another state of emergency, and we're at 70% people in New York State have had the vaccine. It's still spreading. And now there's a new variant that's going to be spreading like wildfire. And I'm sorry, but I don't see this vaccine is substantially different than the vaccines from the decades ago, whether it be tetanus, whether it be polio, whether it be smallpox, totally different. This vaccine is not doing what it was intended to do. And that's where people are having a lot of pushback. I spent 2 weeks in a hospital from it. So there's no way somebody's going to convince me to take another shot. It wasn't pleasant, but people who are not affected by it should get the shot. I was.
Laura?
Thank you. I this is really great conversation, and perhaps next year, Legislator Uchitel and I could discuss the school vaccines as well, because I have had elementary school principals reach out to me, because some of these kids are going in and they're getting jacked up with 12, 15 shots. Some of these shots are these diseases are sexually transmitted. So if you have kids, you know, 12 years old and under that are getting those, that like hepatitis or I can't even name them all, but anyway, I mean, that is a real problem. And I was one of those mothers who resisted anything except what was mandated. You know, if it was recommended, that the kids generally they didn't get it. But that's just me, and that's also my choice. And that's why I agreed to co-sponsor this, and I'm glad that Legislator Bruno is willing to sign on. I did, after talking to Legislator Waro, put in an extra paragraph that there should be masks. It is your choice if you don't want to be vaccinated and you want to take a chance of getting sick. However, it's not my choice if you are sick to run a risk of having one of the breakthrough viral loads. And I really strongly believe anybody who is not vaccinated should wear a mask. So I was happy that that was put in.
If I could add one more thing to reiterate what the legislator Petitia said, I work for Vassar Brothers Medical Center. Everybody pretty much sees it, and everybody knows that. Prior to COVID, the flu, which there was a 50-50 shot of the flu vaccine ever working because they didn't know what strain would come out one year to the next. But we were given an option. You can either get that vaccine or you had to wear a mask. It was one or the other. If you didn't want the vaccine, you wore a mask every time you stepped into the building until you left. And I get that. It's similar to this. You can get this shot. That doesn't mean you're not going to get COVID. That doesn't mean you're not going to be able to transmit it or you're even going to get sick. So then you wear the mask. I get that, but it should be my choice. It should not be mandated one way or the other. So I agree absolutely with Laura Petit.
Mark?
I just, for clarification purposes with the sponsors, it seems to insinuate that this resolution is opposing both vaccination, but also if someone is not vaccinated, that they get tested on a weekly basis. Just to point out that since August, when the county executive has had an executive order for county employees either to show vaccination status or be tested, we've identified somewhere in between 20 to 30 asymptomatic positive cases that we've been able to send home and not have working amongst the workforce. And if this is opposing that kind of program, I mean, you'd see, you know,
it's not opposing
many more clusters in the county.
Yeah, I don't think it's opposing. It's giving the choice.
Okay. The first whereas indicates otherwise, so.
Well, also then let me remind everybody that's a more memorializing resolution. So it's not setting the policy. It's a non-binding resolution. So it's really just, you know, making a point. Laura?
Could I ask, since Deputy Executive Ryder pointed that out, is there a word or two that we could amend now since the sponsors are here?
I mean, so it's pointing, for me, it's pointing out the program that was going to be put forward by the Department of Labor, which is get vaccinated or go through a weekly test, and opposing it. And so, I mean, if that wasn't the intent.
So I think further results that a mask or testing, but.
Right. It does say that. The first whereas, a negative test result, or at least a weekly basis or testing before coming to work. So it does allow us that person to have that option.
That was the federal program that this resolution is opposing, just to be specific. That federal program was for anybody over 100 or more employees, that the employees have to either be vaccinated or go through weekly testing. That was the program that was put in place by the stay. And that's the program that this resolution opposes.
And that just because Cuomo or Hochul or Biden says it's so doesn't mean it's right.
My intent for this resolution was not that you shouldn't be tested or wear masks, that you shouldn't be required to be mandated to be vaccinated.
Exactly.
You have that choice. So it's not opposing testing and it's not opposing masks. It's opposing force.
Okay.
Opposing mandated.
I'll move this. Laura, I think.
Laura, yeah, I'm still here. I was just pulling up the first whereas.
Oh, okay.
Directed at private businesses.
If you'd like, I can read it out loud and have it in front of me.
Yeah.
Sure.
Whereas on September 9th, 2021, President Joseph R. Biden announced plans to direct the U.S. government, our U.S. Department of Labor's Occupational Safety Health Administration.
OSHA. Oh, that's the wrong resolution.
That's the first whereas.
Yeah. I guess they they didn't get the amended resolution. They sent out the original one.
Well, this is the one. This is the one that I printed. That I just got. That I printed.
Because the one I pulled up online doesn't have that as the first paragraph, because that paragraph was pulled, and some of the redundant whereas calls were pulled, and a further resolved was put in. So it looks like the older version was sent out.
That's what I have in front of me.
So let me see if I can find the copy of the amended.
I can read what I show in the system as current. It says September 9th, the federal government announced plans to direct the U.S. Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, to develop an emergency temporary standard, ETS, directed at private sector businesses with 100 or more employees to require their employees to either be vaccinated against COVID-19 virus or require any workers who remain unvaccinated to produce a negative test result on at least a weekly basis before coming to work.
Yeah, that's what it says on the rest of it. Basically, they took the top part mm-hmm. of it off from what I had, but it's the same
thing. I thought the third whereas was supposed to come out too, but.
In light of a stay of recently issued Fifth Circuit Court,
doesn't look like it's, I mean,
it only looks like it was partially amended.
The third whereas
I thought we took out.
In light of the stay?
Yeah.
So the fourth whereas becomes the third whereas, where it says, whereas private sector employees have been overwhelmed by the contingencies and restrictions.
Yes. Or require any workers who remain unvaccinated to produce a negative test result on at least a weekly basis. Yeah. And the section I'm looking at, that third whereas should come out, which I guess would be in the fourth whereas.
Which is attorney general in at least 26 states and numerous private businesses.
So,
well, the meat of any of these resolutions, whether it be a couple of whereas, but the resolved area is that the Ulster County Legislature will expresses its opposition to COVID-19 vaccine mandates by any local, state, or federal government. That's the important.
Who had strike? Let me just say. Well, that is out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you don't worry about the other whereas is the resolves are, you know, follow more the
line. The resolves are what make sure. the resolution.
So do you want to make an amendment then in order to change it? You want to change it, right?
As present, yeah. I don't know. I'm not pulling that one up.
Yeah, I can't.
So is the whole entire document the unamended one?
Or if I may, I printed this 2 days ago. So if it was amended since then, that's what.
No, Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
I just printed this one today, but it doesn't seem to be.
So the one that Nettie just read, that is the most recent that's up?
Yeah.
Right.
And I put that on the screen, Nettie.
And how does that differ from the one that you're looking at, Mary?
I don't know how to. But I can read the third paragraph if you want it in or out. I can read what I see. It says, whereas in light of the stay recently issued by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, finding that legal challenges to the ETS are likely to succeed on the merits, OSHA has suspended its activities related to the implementation and enforcement of the ETS pending the outcome of the constitutional challenges. That's the third paragraph.
Can I make a recommendation? I'm feeling like uncomfortable because the language is not baked And so can I make a recommendation that the authors go back and bake it correctly and bring it back to the committee?
I mean, we did. It just wasn't presented to
the board. We don't have
It's just not the copies. The printed copies are not where they are. That's all in front of us.
Right? So the one that we have in front of us, we want to know what we're voting on.
What Nettie has in front of her, that's the real one.
When Nettie has, okay.
No, that's the same one. The one that she read is the same one that was handed out in the backup.
Well, that's not the same one that we have. The one she has been amended compared to the one that I originally printed.
Laura mentioned a further resolved, and in the one that Nettie was reading, there is no further resolved.
I have four resolved. Four of them.
Same.
Oh, I mean, the further is after the and.
So the current one of record is what Nettie read, correct? And that's the version that we should be voting on in committee tonight.
And it's in the chat. Yeah, it's more semantics. Nothing really changed the last resolves. We took out any reference to the president.
So what version do we have? What version is in front of me? Is that the version of record, the one that was submitted with the amendments? I'm sorry?
I just messaged Jay to see.
Yeah, it's really too bad because we did work on it quite a bit. It was already wow. So did you guys open up the chat?
I just did.
PDF there?
And I see it, and I see the difference. Okay. Mine's just a dated version of it.
It said, except in the newer version that's in the chat room does
right,
mention.
That's the one. That's the one we are right. And I see mine's an older version of it that I was reading before.
All right. So did
but
everybody?
It's the same, but it's the same version? Thing. It's just the resolves are yeah.
And Deputy Ryder's is in our packet. So
I would like to move that we move it forward. Floor or to the next
floor. Right. Now, okay. The one that was submitted, the one that's a matter of record, right? Correct.
And I only have one choice in the system. There's no red line. There's nothing. There's right. one.
So the issue is with the versions that each one of you have, they differ because it's not current, correct?
They are.
But what's in the system is current.
Correct.
Okay.
So we're voting on the one that's in the system.
Right. So, and that's the one that you're okay with, Al, and that you're okay with, Laura?
Yes.
Yep. And I'm fine with that as well.
Sponsors.
If you want to.
I'll make a motion if I need to.
Well, it's already been moved and seconded and discussion. All right. So call the question. All in favor?
Aye. Mary? I think Mary got disconnected.
No, Mary. Well, Mary's here, can't but she doesn't vote.
Oh. Not part of the committee.
Oh.
Laura and Al said yes. Craig?
Aye.
Okay. That's three yes.
I'm a no.
I'm a no as well.
Okay, well, I passed. Do we have any new business? Anything to bring the good committee? Old business? Any discussions? No? Hearing none?
I'll make a motion, we adjourn.
Okay. We have a second?
A second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hi.
All right. Very good. Everybody stay well.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Take a little bit.
Okay.